Romans 8, beginning at verse 28. And we know that God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? Since God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or poverty, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, it's very clear that we could pick up the purpose for Paul's writing this paragraph. It is to teach us the eternal security of God's elect. This is about security. This is about assurance regarding God's love for us and our salvation. Last week we looked at verses 31 through 34 and found out three reasons why we are secure. Verse 31, because God is for us, no one can stand against us. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? No one can. Verse 34, who is he who condemns? Christ who died for us. Now today we're going to look at verse 35 through 39. And the question here is, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the specific, direct, exact answer is no thing or no one can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. An amazing chapter here in the scripture. In Romans 8:1, Paul states that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Now, as he concludes the chapter, verse 39, he says there's no separation. Because there is no condemnation, there can be no separation. Now, for our benefit, Paul gives us a list of possible considerations. I've listed them on the back of the bulletin as they are listed here in Scripture so that we could look at them and apply them to our own personal life, because at some time or another, we all participate in things that we think could tend to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, he uses the personal pronoun who, but then he immediately speaks of things. So, who or what could? And the answer is no one, no thing. So let's quickly run through these possibilities. He uses, first of all, tribulation should be working. Yeah. Tribulation cannot sever us from the love of God. Now, it's a general term. We use the word trouble. Trouble cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Now, in a very special way, the Bible refers to tribulation as those problems which come to Christians because of our relationship to Christ. The suffering that Paul endured because of his testimony. When we go against the world, when we stand against society, we can expect tribulation, Patrick. And if you speak up in that class, they're going to nail you. And that's what he's talking about. And that's all right. That's what we should do. Tribulation cannot do it. He uses the word distress. That's a word we use often today. It's come to the forefront. Distress cannot sever us from the love of God. Now, distress refers to that inner anxiety or anguish that comes because of life's pressures. We all experience that. Christians are not exempt from the pressures of the world. Christians are not exempt from anxiety or anguish. Now, it's not to be the controlling, ruling factor, but it hits and it comes. And we need to honestly face that. But it cannot, no amount of distress can separate us from the love of God in Christ. He uses the word persecution, which we know something about, but this also cannot separate us from the love of Christ. No amount of hatred by the world and no amount of hatred by people can separate us from the love of Christ. He uses the word famine, a common thing in the world. You think of the history of the Israelites and how God wanted to mold them into a nation and use Moses as a deliverer, take them across the wilderness, put them in the land, give them a series of kings, finally come to Joseph and Mary and bring Christ into the world. What did God use as a basis for causing that to happen? A famine. A famine in the land where Jacob and his sons were living. And they had to have some food, and they had to get it from Joseph. And so famine is a common thing that God brings in many places. And it cannot separate us from the love of God. Can Christians starve to death? Yes. In many places in the world, Christians have starved to death, experienced famine. But that has not separated them from the love of Christ. Now, some translations will use a word, nakedness. A better word is probably poverty, being stripped of everything, which has happened to many people. Deep, deep poverty, losing not only cash, but housing and clothing and family and friends, and everything is gone. God strips it, but not his love, which is in Christ. He uses the word peril, which is danger. Probably we face more danger than we realize. And as Ray mentioned to us this morning, we have the angel of the Lord who encamps around about us, and we don't realize their presence. Probably angels are here this morning, but we do not see them. They protected us in getting here. And I particularly pray for the angel of the Lord on the freeways. If you ever needed one, you need him there. Skip needed a protecting angel to come down from Morongo Valley this morning, and God provides that. Danger cannot separate us. Now in verse 36, Paul refers to a quotation from the Old Testament. For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The position of Christians in the world in persecution. And yet he talks about being overcomers. So in verse 38, he continues his list. But he uses this term, for I am persuaded. Now, if anything happens to us this morning, with the impact of God's word by the Holy Spirit, it must be this. It must be that we are fully persuaded that no thing or no one can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ our Lord. And having ended this service, we should be fully convinced, absolutely persuaded, that neither life nor death nor all these things could possibly separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, and we need that. We need that assurance so we don't wobble around and live like a yo-yo Christian and be up and down, but to be steady and stable and living with this persuasion, I am persuaded. And Paul isn't straining for words, but he covers everything here as he amplifies what he has just said. So then he uses the term sword. The sword cannot. An act of violence against us cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Now let's look in verse 38 where he says, neither death nor life. Death cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death. What a subject to contemplate. What a fact that there is in our life about death. Few people will consider death. In fact, probably we could describe society as those hiding from death, whether psychologically or physically or socially or mentally. People hide from death, can't stand to think about it. And I can deliver a gospel message at a funeral service where there are 500 people. And it's just almost like talking to a blank wall. They just want to get out of there. They don't want to hear. You face death. One day you will die. And one statistic that has never changed is that the mortality rate is 100%. You can count on it. And you and I will be included in that. Death. There are many views of death. Of course, one is annihilation. And people like to come up with the view that we're human, we evolved, and we go back into the earth. That's the end of it. And others have a lot of different views about death. What is the Christian view? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now that's a promise only to the believer. But everyone goes on forever in the soul and the spirit that God has given us, because we are human. We are not animals. Animals do not have a soul. They are annihilated. When we bury an animal, that's the end of it. When we bury a human being, that person is just separated from the body and enters an eternal destiny, either with God or separate from Him, in hell forever. So Paul is saying to us believers, death cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And isn't this the basic Christian message? It's about eternal destiny. Where will you spend eternity? Heaven, hell, God, or without Him? So if we could be delivered from this fear of death, would be a very helpful thing for us. And I hope that we all get there, because it does not hold terror, but it's a great thing. It's a graduation. When my mother died, a friend called and said, "Congratulations on your mother's graduation." I've never forgotten that. That's a great thing. Now, it cannot separate. And he uses the word life. Neither death nor life. Anything that can happen in your life, in our lifetime, cannot separate us from the love of God. And then he talks about angels, principalities, or powers. Now, in the angelic world, there are two kinds of angels. And interestingly, Jesus refers to his elect angels. So not only are human beings elected, chosen by God for salvation, but angels are chosen by God to be holy and to serve. And the other angels make up the demon world of satanic power and are referred to as principalities and powers here and in Ephesians 6. So neither good angels, who don't want to, nor the bad angels, the demon world, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then he refers to things present nor things to come. So we look at the world today in our society, and it's a dark, dark picture that our society is sinking deeper and deeper into moral insanity. And it's present every day in the news, in the political world, in the educational world, in the athletic world, in the music world. We are going downhill rapidly. And so, as bad as it is, none of this that is happening can possibly separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you are involved at all in what is happening politically around the world, it can be very, very discouraging, very, very depressing, unless you have this viewpoint of God's sovereignty and that nothing can separate us. And he talks about future things. Well, what does the future hold? Well, we understand that Satan is still alive and active, and what we face in the future cannot in any way separate us from the love of God. In fact, he sums it up by putting things nor height nor depth, nor any other created being. Now, that's a summary. Who could be included in this any other creature created? Well, he's already talked about the angels. They're eliminated. We already know that Satan is defeated He cannot. God certainly won't. Who is left? Yourself. Maybe this is the chief thing about this. Even I cannot separate myself from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. That is awesome. And we need to know that and think about it and cling to that. Our sin can devastate us to the point where humanly we can lose hope. But biblically, we cannot. And spiritually, we cannot, as we cling to the truth of God's word. Nor any other created being, including yourself. Heaven and hell cannot. Now you can take this list and make a pile, stack it up. And Paul is not trying to be exhaustive here. You could add your own list, and you could probably make one at least as long as Paul's, and stack it up, put them all together, and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I think if I was in the audience, I'd say amen.
Amen.
Okay, all right, we're together. Now, let's look for a moment at what Paul has said about this conquering business, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We need to look at that, and that's what we will do next Sunday. We'll take that verse and look at the ways in which we believers are more than conquerors in this kind of world and in our spiritual life. So the believer has perfect security spiritually in Christ. And notice that the love of God is always associated with Christ. I am persuaded that all these things and all these things, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. God loves those who are in Christ. God loves those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The promise is to those who are in Christ, not universally to the world, but only to those whom he has chosen to believe in Christ, and we are more than conquerors. So we have a hymn of victory. And I'll just read it here. It's in your bulletin. Every believer may confidently rejoice in the full assurance of God's love and care in Christ. No weapon formed against him or her can prosper. There is no power able to take God's elect out of his sovereign, omnipotent hand, or to render the redemptive work of Christ ineffectual, or to ever bring the elect again under condemnation, or to hinder the certainty of his glorification. Well, just let me ask you, are you fully persuaded that this is true? Are you convinced that this is true about you? And will you apply it to your life every moment as you live, and thus give honor and glory to God? To fail to do so is a failure to honor and glorify him as he should be. Now, another thing you could think about in applying this passage: If you are given at all to writing, the poetry, writing a hymn, here is a hymn of victory. Take verses 37 through 39 and write a song. And somebody can set it to music. And we'll have a hymn of victory. The title, More Than Conquerors. So apply the persuasion. Think about writing this in your own words and bring us a hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great arrangement you have made for us to be secure and to have our eternal salvation secure in Christ and not in us, nor in circumstances, nor in the history of the world, nor in other people, but simply in you. Thank you for that protective love and care which is a part of our life this morning. And thank you, Lord, that when the time arrives for us to be with you and taken from this life, we look forward to that. We do not fear, because even death cannot separate us from your love. Help us to live this day in the light of this truth, and we will praise you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.